Turn your Bibles, will, to Psalm 32. Psalm 32. Psalm 32, here in verse number 1. We're going to take a look at verse number 1 and 2 here and get our thoughts for the messages today. Psalm 32, verse number 1, blessed. And whenever you see that word blessed, it means happy and joyous. And it also means touched by God. Okay, so it carries more than just being happy and joyous, and there is a difference between happiness and joy, I believe. But it also means, whenever you see that word blessed, it's always talking about being touched by the Lord, because He is the one that blesses. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed, happy, joyous, touched by the Lord is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. In this passage, we see there's a lot here. And this passage, if there's maybe you have a note there before at the beginning of this chapter or this psalm, that says it's a psalm of David and a maskil. Okay, that's a maskil. What a maskil is an instructive, okay, poem. And so David has written this. It's not a song per se, but it's more like a poem. And no doubt it could be sung. But in this, he is doing some teaching, okay? And so here he says, and there's a lot that's here, but we're just going to drill down to one issue, one point here to deal with. In this, these couple verses here at the beginning of this psalm, we see that the one whose transgression is forgiven, there's the forgiving of sin, okay? The forgiving of sins, okay? And that word transgression is talked about where we've broken the law of the Lord. Tell you what, that's a happy man. That's one that's been touched by God. And just because it says we would refer to it as being a man, or the scripture refers to it in the one that's being dealt with here, or they're being told about here, and the male gender, it's talking about mankind, okay? Men, women, boys, and girls. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. There's a forgiving of sin that is mentioned there. And then it says, whose sin is covered, a covering of sin. And though that covering of sin brings in different doctrines that the scripture speaks of and that we hold to here at Olmsted Baptist Church, the doctrines of the sacrifice of the Lord, or the atonement of the Lord, or the redemption, the buying back of the Lord, that covering of sin. And then it goes on to say in verse 2, blessed is a man at whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. It just keeps getting better and better, doesn't it? His transgression is forgiven, but it's better than that. It's been covered, been washed away by the blood of the Lord. And then he is blessed indeed, in that the Lord does not impute iniquity. And you see that in your Bible there, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That's God Almighty. That's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Not a one of the Trinity. Not God Almighty does not impute iniquity to this one. And oh, indeed, he is blessed. This no imputation of sin, that's not a word that we used often, but it does reveal about, of course, the doctrine of imputation. My sin, if you're here and saved, your sin laid upon Christ. How could that even take place? But it has. And then his righteousness. It's one thing to consider about my sin being laid on him, but then it's another thing to consider that his righteousness has been laid on, imputed unto his people, the redeemed, the saved. Oh, I tell you what, this person's got a lot to smile about, don't they? A lot to rejoice in the Lord about. The doctrines of imputation, or the doctrine of propitiation. The Lord Jesus, God sent his Son, the Father sent his Son, the Son was willing to come, and the Son took my place. I was slated to die. You, who are saved were slated to die. But Jesus, the Father, sent his Son to be a propitiation, the one in whom the sin would be born, the one in whom that the price would be paid, the one in whom that would suffer for sins, and to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, because Jesus took it, because Jesus bore it, because Jesus paid for it on Calvary's tree. The Lord says, there's no sin to impute to Jim. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is a man in whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. And then we see here, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Guile. Again, another word that we don't use often. But what this word guile is talking about is deception. There's no deception of the sinner in it. You know, with someone that holds to work salvation, a salvation that they can gain by something that they can do or is deceptive. They have been deceived. They are found in deception because it is a lie that sinners can do something for their sin. It's a lie. It's a lie. And many denominations, many religions hold to the position that they can, that men can attain to God, but there's no way a man can attain to God. In John chapter 3, the Lord Jesus Christ himself said, there's not been one man that's made a way to heaven. Not one. But there has been a man that came down from heaven. The Son of God came down from heaven. He is the only one that's made a way. And so in this, one being forgiven, one's sins covered, one being in a state of the Lord not imputing to them iniquity, there is no deception in it. In regards to your spiritual life, is your spiritual life a life of deception? Then you probably don't know the Lord. But is your life a life of honesty and that Christ died for you, you're trusting in him, and you represent him? And of course, in this old flesh, we're not perfect. But are I found in a life of living a facade that we just don't want anybody to touch, push on real hard? Or have we been saved by the Lord? That's the way it is with salvation. When the Lord saves, there is no deception. It's faith in Christ, salvation by him. What we want to focus on today is here in the first verse, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. We want to take a look at forgiveness, okay? Forgiveness. What does the scripture say about forgiveness? Okay, so let's pray. Father, we thank you for the day. And Lord, help us as we look into your word. Lord, you know our needs. You know our cares. Father, you know our heartache, our joy. Lord, your touch upon us. Lord, you know every whit about us. And Lord, as your children, Lord, build us up and strengthen us. And Lord, we praise your name that you have forgiven us. Father, for those that are here and not saved, we pray for them, Father. We bring them before you. Lord, we pray that through Christ you would forgive them. Lord, that you would save them. And Lord, reveal yourself unto them and reveal Christ unto them. And Lord, that he be precious to the salvation of their souls. Lord, work and help, we pray. We ask it all in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Here in this passage, we've looked about the forgiving of sin, the covering of sin, and the imputation or no imputation of sin, and that there's no deception in it. The forgiveness of the sinner is a wonderful, wonderful doctrine. And how is it that a sinner can be saved? How is it that a sinner can be forgiven? Well, let's look over here in Ephesians chapter 1. Take a look over here. How is it that a sinner is forgiven? The forgiveness of a sinner. Paul writes here to this church at Ephesus, there in Asia Minor. And he greets them here at the beginning of this book. And we'll pick it up here at a sentence in verse number 3, the second sentence. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Speaking about the work of God on behalf of His people, even before there was an earth. That before the foundation of the world. That where the transactions are taken care of and what's done for the saints, the headquarters of God, where all these things are done. Isn't that what it says here? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. It all started in heaven. It all started there with the Lord. God's purpose to do what He's going to do for a sinful mankind, do for His people, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. And after salvation and being in the Lord's church, we find out how great the working of God on our behalf is. It's a thing that gives us confidence. It's a doctrine and a blessing that gives us more confidence about the Lord. Before I would naturally think of me, I think of me about when I was born, maybe when I was conceived. But even before then, the Lord was working on my behalf. And that's a blessing indeed. In Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. That's His working. That's His purpose. And we are there, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself. Not only are we just saved and redeemed, our sins atoned for, a sacrifice offered for us, but have been made a child of God, not just a servant. It would just be fine in glory to be there and be the janitor, to be the street sweeper, to be the cobweb getter-outer. You think any of those things are going to be there? It'd be just fine to be rescued unto that, but no. We've not been rescued to be a servant in glory, but we're a joint heir with Christ. Adopted. Wow. And these are subjects that can be expanded upon indeed. Adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, that where I am, there ye may be also, He says, right? According to the good pleasure of His will. Verse number 6, to the praise of the glory of His grace. In every consideration of the Lord of us, everything that He's done, everything He's purposed to do, everything that He's accomplished, every bit of that has been a gracious giving and doing unto us. We didn't deserve it, but He's done it. And He's performed it. He's brought it to pass. He has applied it. And it's to His praise. It's to His honor and His glory, wherein He hath made us accepted in the beloved. Yeah, where the beloved is, that's where we're accepted too. Not, like I said, not a servant, not a foreigner, not a third degree relationship, but in the beloved. Okay? Listen to verse number 7. In whom we have redemption, being bought back through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. My soul, being full of my sins, stood condemned before the Lord. But the Lord had a purpose that He would, and a plan that He would bring to pass. And some 2,000 years ago, He did bring it to pass. And when my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was crucified on that cross, and that blood ran out of His body, that blood was shed for the forgiveness of my sins. Amen. That's what I know. Okay? Now, many of you give a testimony that you've been saved. And that's what you claim and what you know. And it's by that blood that our sins have been forgiven. Amen. It's by that shedding of that blood that my sins have been forgiven. Understand that. My sins. How was it in the Old Testament law? And and could preach a message about this and considered about it in the book of Leviticus over and over and over and over and over. The scriptures say they bring the sacrifice for a particular transgression, and when the sacrifice is offered by the priest, then he shall be forgiven. But that one didn't have anything to do with the next one, nor did it have anything to do with the previous one that he bought, because the man, as we are, was fraught with transgressions. I've got sins to my account. And we talk about our sin, but it's the transgressions. The sacrifices were given for the transgressions, and the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ was given for my transgressions, for my sin, and his blood. What's it say? In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Why would Jesus come? But he graciously did. Why would he live? But he graciously did. Why would he die? But he graciously did. Why would he lay in that grave for 3 days and three nights? But he graciously did. Why would he raise from the dead? He can't help but raise from the dead. But why would he take that resurrection and apply it to me? But he graciously did. Everything that the Lord does for us, and every one of those points, he did it, and then he's applied it to us. He's given it. He's imputed it. He's bestowed it upon us, and the blessing indeed of it. The forgiveness of a sinner. How is a sinner forgiven of his sins? As I mentioned earlier, the blackness of my soul, full of my sins, I stood condemned before the Lord, John chapter 3. And not receiving the Savior, not believing in the Savior, I have no hope, no answer for my sins without a Savior, without a Redeemer, without an Atoner, without one to stand in, without an intercessor. And those sins, the Lord must mete out perfect justice and judgment upon them. But then when Christ came in and he applies his blood and those sins are covered, as the gal sang, the lady sang here and they did the other night at the thing, I stand redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. My sins are forgiven. That is how a sinner is forgiven of their sins. It goes on to say in verse 8 to finish the sentence, wherein he hath bounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, all the working and wisdom and knowledge and cunning of the Lord and working and bringing salvation is unparalleled. Having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, he revealed himself unto us, that in the dispensation or the stewardship of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, and which are on the earth, even in him, in whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. How is it manifested that we're the Lord's? We believed in him. We had faith in him. When the gospel was brought and taught and preached to us, we said, yes, that's what I need. Yeah, I have no hope. Anything I've ever tried never has worked. Anything that any man has tried to present to me has never helped. But that, the Lord Jesus, that will make the difference. That has made the difference. And we trust and believe in him. In Colossians chapter 1, in Colossians chapter 1, we see this in the greeting of the apostle, and his wording to them is nigh unto the same. And we look here in verse number 9, Colossians chapter 1, verse number 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, church at Colossae. Saints there within, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. This is a desire he has. Serve and walk with the Lord. Please him. Seek his face in all things. And don't live to yourselves, but live to the Lord. being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. A lot of things that are indicated there to the saints about how we should be, how should we should behave, how should we should live because of, in this abundant life that the Lord has given us. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet, has made us suitable to be partakers in the inheritance of the saints in light. He's made the change. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Remember how the Lord was translated on the mount, or transfigured on the mount there with Peter, James, and John? His glory shone. Jesus has taken us from this wickedness, sin, depravity, and just the grossness of it all, and made us the children of light. Will give us a body, has promised us a body, and we have the down payment of it by the earnest of the Spirit, that we'll have a body that will be able to live in his presence. Not be hindered by sin, not be tempted by sin, be able to look upon his face and be able to obey him completely in every wit and every way for eternity. Oh me. And hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood. You know how far that redemption goes? You know how extensive that it is? Even the forgiveness of sins. How? By the Lord. By him. The forgiveness of a sinner. How is it that we have the forgiveness of sins? Through his blood. That blood was important. Oh, and it was shameful that the King of Glory, the one who is innocent, the one who is the greatest of all, would be taken and killed by wicked sinners. It is terrible. It's the greatest tragedy and travesty from the human standpoint that has ever been, that God the Son would be killed. But praise God that he submitted to it and that he yielded to it. Because without that, we would have no hope. And that blood that flowed there in Jerusalem, that blood that flowed there on that cross, is that by which our sins have been forgiven. Our sins have been forgiven. Chapter 2 of this book. Verse number 13, and you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened, that is made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. From the standpoint of my old black soul loaded down with sin and the issue of eternity and the issue of being born again and everlasting life, Jesus' blood came in and took care of the sins. And again, as the song they sang and the scripture bears out, you and I who are saved, we stand redeemed. Our sins forgiven by the blood of the Lamb. By the blood of the Lamb. In Acts chapter 5, let's take a look over here and see what the brethren are preaching. And in this chapter, the issue of Ananias and Sapphira has been dealt with, and the Lord makes a great statement there. There's persecution and deliverance that is told about here in this chapter. And here the apostles are brought before the religious leadership of the day. And listen what they declare. They've been threatened by them. They're going to be threatened more. And here they are in verse number 27 of Acts 5. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest asked them, saying, Did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name, that is the name of the Lord Jesus? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter, And the other apostles answered and said, they were in unison, not necessarily that they spoke at the same time, but they all gave the same witness and testimony, the same stand. We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. He raised him from the dead. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior. That's what God has done through him. He is a prince, the prince, and he is the savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Only by Jesus, only by what Jesus did, only by what the Father had purposed to do through his Son and in his Son. And the Son came and did it. And it's by that that we have forgiveness of our sins. The repentance. Yes, I'm a sinner. Yes, I'm lost and undone before you, God. Yes, I need help. Help me. I need you to intervene. See, there's not some place that we go and struggle to take that blood and get it drawn over here to our sins. There's no place that we can, no counter that we can go to and get that transaction done. We cry out as sinners for mercy from the Lord. Because he's the one that's done it. He's the one that's told about it. He's the one that's made a way that through his people, through his churches, it's declared to sinners so that they might receive it. See that? That's God's work. God's at the, he's at the forefront of all this. And he takes it and he brings it and he lays it right down there in sinners' laps. What will you do with this one called Christ? He is the Savior. And it's by him and what he's done, his blood, that we have forgiveness for our sins. There in verse 31, and him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, just like you and I that are saved are today in this church. And so also is the Holy Spirit. He's a witness of it too, because he works in it, doesn't he? And whom God hath given to them that obey him. Praise God. Through Jesus, we are forgiven. In 1 John chapter 2, John, boy, in thinking about the Apostle John, and it's just really something, a man certainly changed by the Lord and touched by the Lord. I believe John, the testimony of his the writings and what the Lord inspired him to write to us gives us a great insight into this man that was just overwhelmed with the love of the Lord for him. How could the Lord love such a man as I? How could the Lord love this old roughneck fisherman that would shoot off his mouth? Yes, John was that way. And remember what he and his brother were called? By the Lord? Their father was his name gives the indication that he was a meek and mild, even-tempered, a gentle man. But the Lord called James and John the sons of thunder. They shot off their mouth just like they've been hanging around Peter and Andrew for a while, hadn't they? I mean, they all had that gift. But the Lord saved John, and he marveled in that. He rested in that. He enjoyed that so that the Lord would save a man like him. And in 1 John chapter 2, we read one verse here, and he says, I write unto you, verse number 12, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. See, Jesus knew who he was dying for on the tree, didn't he? And he knew where every blood of every drop of blood was going, didn't he? And he knew the sins for the sins and who he was paying them for them for. Okay, it's bad English, but the Lord knew what he was doing, didn't he? And when the Lord, if you will, would stand before the Father and presented himself after his resurrection, He said, Lord, I've died for those that you've given me. And we don't know all the ins and outs about that, but the Lord does. And we know some about it because the Lord has worked salvation in us, and we've testified to it, and you have too. And we've known those that have gone before us that have died that gave a testimony of salvation. And for his name's sake, the Father said, no, I don't think it's going to work for all of them. For his name's sake, it was just spot on, wasn't it? Right directly on those that he died for his name's sake. The Father received him, and he gave himself for us. And because Jesus gave himself for us, we're accepted in the beloved. The Father says, yeah, come on in, son. Come on in, daughter. He doesn't say, who are you? What are you doing here? The Lord says, I died for him. Oh, come on in. Come on in. You belong here. It's by the Lord that we have been forgiven. You know, Jesus is a forgiver of sins, isn't he? He indeed is the forgiver of sins. In Luke chapter 5, let's look here quickly. In Luke chapter 5, in verse number 17, listen to what the scripture says here and what the Lord says. And it came to pass, Luke 5:17, came to pass on a certain day, as he, that is the Lord, was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. This man couldn't get there himself. His friends brought him. They couldn't get through the door, and they were without patience. They wanted to get him before the Lord now. And when he saw their faith, verse 20, he said unto him, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. Don't you have to get clearance to do that? Doesn't there have to be some like procedure or paperwork done to get that accomplished? No, because Jesus is the forgiver of sins. He, at this time, was going to shed his blood. But he can forgive the sins of whomsoever he will. And he said, man, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Of course, the Lord's working on many fronts here. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Wrong. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Right. And that's the point. Because this one that's sitting down right there in the house that told the man that they had dropped down there before him, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. He is the one. He is the forgiver of sins. He is the one. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Amen. Because Jesus is God. But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, what reason ye in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, rise up and walk. Catch this. Listen to this. You that are here without the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, listen to these words. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins. This is straight for you that you might know. He said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy couch, and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them and took up that whereon he lay and departed into his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. They had seen the one that has the power, the wherewithal, the authority to forgive sins. They had seen him and heard him do it, and then gave a sign, gave a manifestation, gave a proof of healing a man that was carried in there by four, and the man is instantly healed of his disease, his palsy, and carries his bed out the door, glorifying and praising God. Amen. Sinner without Christ, you can trust the Lord. You can rest in Him. You can believe Him. He's not a liar. He's not without power. He is the Savior. He is the forgiver of sins. You can trust in Him. Over here in Luke chapter 7, verse number 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him, Luke 7:36, and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. And when the Pharisees which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself. This is what he's saying inside, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned unto the woman and said unto Simon. So he turns to and looks at the woman, but he's still speaking to Simon. Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, and thou gavest me no water for my feet. But she hath washed my feet with tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which were many are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said unto the woman, Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. Amen. Jesus is the forgiver of sins. And sinners can indeed go with him with their sins. And he will forgive. This woman had repented of her sins. This woman had been brought to the understanding and the knowledge, the seeing forth that Jesus was precious and is precious. She loved him much. She loved him much. And the Lord forgave her of her sins. Forgiveness of the sinner is only by Christ. A few more passages and we'll close. In the book of Acts, chapter 13, just read a couple more passages and listen to what these passages say. In Acts chapter 13, verse number 38, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Amen. It's only by Christ. By repentance and faith in him. His forgiveness for you. Not a bartering with the Lord, not a trading with the Lord, a just coming clean and open with the Lord. No deceit, no deception, no ulterior motive. Lord, I'm guilty. And salvation is in your hand to give to me. Lord, save me. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. In Acts chapter 26, in verse number 13, we read here Paul giving the account of his conversion when the Lord saved him, when the Lord visited him. In Acts chapter 26, verse 13, "At midday, O king, I saw on the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, the Lord's rescue in him, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified or set apart by faith that is in me." Faith in the Lord Jesus. It says, Paul, I'm saving you. And in this account here, is this given that when sinners are saved, they must see a bright light? No, that's the way the Lord dealt with this man in that day. What we have now is we have the canon of Scripture. We have the Word of God. And as he said there at the end, that men might hear, might receive, might believe. He was appointing another man to be his apostle, to be his minister, that they might hear, that they might believe, that they might hear the message from God through his man about Jesus, the Savior. Psalm 86. Psalm 86, and we'll close. Psalm 86, verse number 5. This is a prayer of David, the scripture says. Psalm 86, verse 5. "For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee." The forgiveness of sinners. It's only through Jesus Christ. If you're a sinner, you're without Christ, go to him with it. We who are saved, are we blessed? Indeed we are, amen. Are we blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is he unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile.